Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Tuesday morning, so we are talking about getting healed, becoming complete and entire spirit, soul, and body. We've been talking about the results of getting healed. And one of the reasons we're doing that is just for encouragement. We want to remind ourselves that sometimes the healing process isn't particularly enjoyable. Sometimes we have to work at things and really put time and effort and energy into it and perhaps go through some pain and patience, but we want to be reminded of the results of getting healed God's way. We're not talking about just getting rid of the pain. We're talking about uncovering those wounds and the lies and receiving truth that both sets us free and makes us free. We want freedom to the uttermost. That's what God intends for you. That's what God intends for His people, for all people. We are not here to be under the control. We're not here on this earth to be under the control of anyone else. I think that's one of the reasons that there's such a shift in relying on those who have been normally set up in authority, those that proclaim or present themselves as a spiritual authority, are in one way or another being exposed as usurpers. Sometimes it's just by people leaving and having their eyes opened or their needs not met. Sometimes it's by certain things being exposed in their lives that they are not what they appear to be. They are not what they seem. And that's good. We're not all that concerned about God's reputation. He's going to take care of that himself. To think that we are big enough and strong enough and powerful enough to damage his reputation is a reflection not on God, not on the world, but on our perception of him or our perception of ourselves. Either that he's so small that he needs our help or that we're so big that he can't live without us, that he's counting on us to uphold his reputation. Isn't that silly? He created the world, but now he's going to count on us to protect his reputation, to protect what people think of him. Yeah. So we want to recognize that that process of getting healed brings us into freedom. And with that freedom comes responsibility. Comes personal responsibility and outward responsibility. A whole Christian, a dependent Christian, is fully involved and engaged in their life. It's not about isolating ourselves from our circumstances, our world, our family, our friends, our politics, our everything that's going on in our lives, our social structure, our work. No, all those things are an extension of the circumstances. They are the circumstances that God has arranged for each one of us to help us become what we are in our spirit. So rather than isolating ourselves from any one area, we make the most out of each one of those areas. Our finances, our taking care of our body, our families, our communities. We make the most out of it. Not measuring up to other people's standards about, okay, if you're a good citizen, you trust the government. Well, the opposite is true, is as a good citizen, you don't trust the government. You trust God. You depend on God to meet your needs, not the government. So in every aspect of our life, we are more engaged. For instance, in that situation, that circumstance, that doesn't mean that you go out and you start a revolution. It may, but that's up to God. God may use you. God may direct you. God may give you a project of having a political impact, of getting involved in politics or speaking out as a citizen in one way or another. Or that may not be a major project in your life. He may have something much more important or more important to him for you. Somebody else will take care of that other. One thing to remember that in any government, in any national situation where every border, if God wanted that changed, it would take a split second. He's not anywhere wringing his hands thinking, oh my, this is way out of control. I need to do something about getting this back to where I want it. Or, my church has disappointed me because they haven't prayed enough and now this is all out of control and they better get their act together so I can fix this. That's often what we think, that we have failed in some way, we have failed God. We have failed our circumstances. We have failed our country, our neighbors, our family, and we are therefore responsible or deserving of disaster. That's what is the root of judgment. It's funny how sometimes we would rather be the victims of judgment than recognize that God has his purposes. We may not know what they are, but God has his purposes for the crises, the natural disasters, the social, political, financial, health issues. He has his purposes for those. So sometimes we would rather take the credit, if you will, for negatives in our life, then go through the changing of our beliefs about God using the negative. We don't want to be patient. We don't want to give up control. We want to take the credit. Sometimes we love misery. Sometimes we love feeling guilty because at least we are the center of attention. You know, terrible situations arise, truly terrible. And we try to make it out that we have an impact on it or should have had, been able to prevent it or any of those, you know, that now that it's happened, we can make the most out of it. All those perspectives are about us. And this is why so often people even start out strong, but they don't see the greater control that they were seeking in developing that habit of depending on God. God, is that you? What do you want me to do in this situation? That puts the control back in God's hands. And our self, our soul, our self-life doesn't like that. We want to have control over our own lives. We want to have control very often as well. God, you know, as long as I go to heaven when I die, I'm going to take care of the rest of my life down here. Well, he has something to say about that. This is one of the reasons why healing is so important, is because it's important to us. But it's important to God because those areas where you're not healed are hindering his free flow through your life. And he's not going to settle for that. Now, he may make some changes now and some changes in whatever comes next after this, our time here on this earth. But I want to take full advantage of our time here. Why put off till what comes next, what God wants to do today, right now, right this second? There's so much more that we have not even imagined. I love that verse, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has in store for those who wait on him, for those who love him. So if we can't imagine it, how can we plan for it? How can we prepare for it? We can trust God. Heard a minister, a prophet, the other day say, well, the reason we need prophets is so we can know the future, so we can prepare. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm all for the gifts and the workings of different roles within our developing processes. People are good at and developing different skills, and we need all those skills to be developed, even if it's just for provoking us. But to think, first of all, that we can understand what the future holds with our finite mind right now, without depending on God fully, we're going to miss something. We're not going to be equipped yet. We're in the process to prepare on our own. We're never going to be able to prepare on our own. So our take is that you can prepare for your future without knowing what it is. And that's actually the best way. Because in your spirit, you and God know precisely what today holds, what tomorrow holds, what 10 years from now holds. And if you are depending on God and submitting to his teaching and his training and his healing, you will be ready. You will be prepared. So there's nothing that you need to do beyond what he has for you to do. If you take seriously what he has for you, what he desires for you, you can basically, not engage in all the other activities that are coming at you. Now, there's a lot going on in each one of our lives, but that's always been the case, and it will always be the case. And to say that, well, as soon as I'm out of this crisis, then I'll really start to depend on God. Or as soon as I get this under control, then I'll really see what God wants me to be doing. God, or we start bargaining. God, if you just get me out of this situation, then I'll see what you want me to do. But guess what? God has no sense of time. And in your spirit, you have no sense of time. There is no time. There is no as soon as. He doesn't know what you're talking about. Only our earthly body is bound by that time. Now, just because we believe it affects every other aspect of our life doesn't mean it's true. You can believe that the moon is made of green cheese. Doesn't mean it's true. So we want to believe the truth. We want to believe God. Neck only comes from depending on Him. And He is so faithful. He knows exactly what you need, and He wants to give it to you. But He draws us to Him. It's His goodness that draws us to Him. It's not fear that drives us. I mean, I don't know how many times I've gotten into very short conversations with ministers, especially pastors, about fear being a good motivator. You know, fear of hell, fear of curses. You know, you do what God wants you to do and He'll bless you, and you disobey what God says, or the pastor says, or the Bible says, and you're going to get cursed. You're going to suffer the consequences. But fear is never a good motivator. It doesn't touch our heart. It doesn't help us to depend on God. It instead reinforces conditional love, the law. But God loves you because that's who He is. He's looking out for you because that's who He is. He's never going to leave you or forsake you because that's who He is. That's His character. That's your character. This is often why we are in confusion, is because we're trying to live as a soulical being, though we are in reality a spiritual being. So that's where we become a double-minded man. That's when we become unstable. You're not unstable before you became a Christian, before you were born again, before you were re-enlivened in your spirit. You could only sin. You didn't have any options. You could only live out of your flesh, out of your self-life, out of your own strengths. You did not have any options. But now that you're a spirit, now you have a new identity, but that self-life is struggling to survive. Doesn't want to die, doesn't want to give up. It's worked before, and so that's where the confusion comes in. The more we learn to depend on God in the good times, the easier it is to depend on Him in the bad times. And again, those terms, bad times and good times, those are for our sake. He hasn't the foggiest idea what we're talking about. They're all His times. His times, His seasons. And He wants to bring us up so we see through His eyes, we feel through His heart that this doesn't preclude us from being in confusion or feeling anxious and stressful. Those are all normal reactions to a crisis situation. It's just we don't live by those. We don't make decisions according to our feelings. We don't not look at options. How many times are we hearing, you know, I thought God would make a way for me to keep my house? And I ask, what did you expect him to do? Being specific. And they all, well, I didn't want to tell him what to do. I didn't want to dictate to him what he needed to do. To which I say, did you ask him if there's anything you could be doing? And the answer is pretty much always no, because they just wanted him to fix it. And when we remember that God crafts our situations so we can learn to depend on him, when we fail to depend on him, he will just craft another situation. It's not that he is not concerned by our pain, but that he knows that there's only one solution for it. He doesn't want to just kick the pain down till next year, to the next crisis. He wants to solve your pain permanently now, once for all. And when we don't respond in a way that will resolve the issue, all we're doing is delaying that encounter, that healing, that freedom. It always comes back to, Lord, is this you? Is this from you? Is this something I can be doing about this? There'll be times when no, there's nothing you can do about this. This is just something you'll be going through because you are a part of this earth. And we say, okay. Is there anything I can be working on? But there will be times when, well, I'm going to take care of this for you. Or he'll say, this is something that you need to be doing. You need to be getting 2 and 3 more jobs. And you can keep the house. Or, I'm going to take care of this for you. I'm going to drop money into your hands. The point being that until we hear from him, we are not to assume what the answer is. You already know what the answer is in your spirit, so it's not like you're trying to get him to talk to you. He's already talking to you. The problem is between your spirit and your soul. So, some other results of getting healed are in valuing ourselves now. Sometimes we value ourselves too much, sometimes we don't value ourselves enough, but we recognize how much God values us now. Despite what the world says, despite what your own perception of how well you measure up to the standards that you have, God values you perfectly now. Look at the price he paid. Just so that you could dwell together. Just so he could pour himself into you. It's not based on your actions. It's not based on your future purpose, skills, ability. It's not how well you're doing or how well you're going to do or what you've done in the past. It's he values you because you've been made a part of him. So then, in ourselves, we learn to distinguish between the arrogance and pride of our unhealed soul, whose only goal is to control, and the rightful acknowledgement of the glory of who God has created us to be. In abandoned dependence, just all in dependence on him for life itself. Again, our value doesn't depend on what we have accomplished in the past or what we may accomplish in the future, but on the intrinsically valuable asset God considers you to be right now. God's universe revolves around you. Now, that's a reflection both on how big he is, but also on who he's made you to be. It's a matter of, are you asking him and depending on him? As you do that, as you understand and comprehend your place in him, you can say, you can stand up and say, I'm a son of God. I was a sinner, but now I'm a son of God. I will at some point in time rule and reign over the universe, over all things that God has created. But in my spirit, I am now perfect, complete, entire. I know all things. I control all things. I have all power and authority. We can say that without pride, without arrogance, because we know that is not true of our soul. That we have been become. We have been transformed in our spirit, but we're still in process in our soul. So we can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because we are depending on him, not because we're praying and asking for things on our terms, but because we're connected to him by our spirit. So we learn to command, and we learn to take authority and rule and reign even over our circumstances, to the point where God may say, I'm not going to get you out of this mess. You're going to get yourself out of this mess. I've given you the power and the authority to conquer your enemies. And when we know it's our responsibility and that God has given us what we need, and he says, you can win over them. I intend in this circumstance for you to overcome this situation. Let me teach you how. Then we find out, okay, this is something we need, we are to do, but we are to learn it. It's not just a matter of praying and fasting and coming up with words and the right words and singing the right worship songs. It's being able to hear God, do what he tells us to do, do the work, and what he says will come to pass. We will overcome our enemies here on this earth in this situation. But you are an overcomer. You are not a victim. That situation you're in right now, God's intent is for you to overcome. So let him train you. Let him teach you and guide you. He's in it with you, for you, though the results may not be what you think God wants them to be. So thank you for tuning in. As always, if you have any questions, you can always get in touch with me at diane@wecanprepare.org. Look forward to hearing from you. We'll be getting back together again on Thursday at 7:30. Until then, have a great week.